Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to church here at Evangel. It's wonderful to see you. And come on, we're going to stand. And Scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And let all my innermost being bless his holy name. Come on, we're going to lift up one voice to the one who's the Lord of the Lords, the King of Kings. He's the great I am. Amen. The bread of life, the lion and the lamb. Let's sing to him this morning. And I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And I raise a hallelujah in louder than the unbelief. And I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me.
Come on, let's sing that again.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And I raise a hallelujah, and louder than the unbelief. Oh, I raise a hallelujah. Your weapon is a melody. Oh, Lord, and I raise a hallelujah. And heaven comes to fight for me.
Come on, I'm gonna sing.
Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. No hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. His lion.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
With everything.
With everything inside of me. Oh, I raise a hallelujah. I watch the darkness flee. Oh, yes, I raise a hallelujah. Oh, in the middle of the mystery. And I raise a hallelujah. If fear has lost its hold on me, I'm gonna sing. Well, I'm gonna sing. In the middle of this storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. He is alive. Yeah,
sing a little louder.
And sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Oh, sing a little louder, in heaven comes the fire.
Sing it again.
Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, and louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder,
My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Come on. Death is defeated. The King, I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. And death is defeated. The King is alive. Just your voices. I'm gonna sing. Sing it to him. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. 'Cause death is defeated. The King is alive. He's alive and he reigns on high. Down the worship. How vast is your love? So deep is your grace. How rich is your mercy that reach out to save? How great is your name? So faithful and true. How good is your kindness? There's no one like. Let's sing that again. How vast is your love? How vast is your love? So deep is your grace. How rich is your mercy that reach out to save? How great is your name? So faithful and true. How good is your kindness? There's no one like you. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let all creation sing an anthem of praise. Honor and glory to our God. Oh, come, let us lift him high. Let all the nations cry an anthem of praise. Honor and glory to our God. How matchless your power. How matchless your power. So strong is your might. How priceless your wisdom. So pure is your light. And how high are your thoughts. So perfect your ways. And Lord, you are worthy of unending praise. Come, let us worship him. Let all creation sing an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Yeah. Oh, come, let us lift him high. Let all the nations cry an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are worthy of highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we rejoice in your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are worthy of highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
We rejoice in your holy name, yeah. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let all creation sing an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Oh, come, let us lift him high. Let all the nations cry an anthem of praise, honor and glory to come, let us worship. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let all the creation sing an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Oh, come, let us lift him high. Let all the nations cry an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are worthy of highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We rejoice in your holy. Sing that again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are worthy of highest praise. Yes, you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We rejoice in your holy name. Yeah. We rejoice in your holy name. You are God with us, yeah. God with us. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. And how great thou art, how great thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Oh, how great thou art, and how great thou art. Come on, lift your voice this morning. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, and how great thou art. Yeah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Oh, how great thou art, how great thou art. One more time. Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. He is great. He is great. Won't you greet one another as you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to Evangel this morning. We're glad you're here. We want to welcome you. We want to welcome those of you who are joining us via live stream this morning. And we're just glad that you could be a part of what God is doing here in this place today. I want to especially recognize David. It's good to see you after surgery. David Mullen back this morning. And also, Rhoda after a bit of a hospital stay back with us again this morning too. So we just keep praying for those who need prayer, and we just rejoice when God brings them through and does good things in their lives. Amen. If this is your first time at Evangel, we just want to extend a special welcome to you this morning and tell you that we're delighted that you're here, and we want to be able to come alongside you, to help you and support you as best we can. And so we would ask you to fill out a connection card you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you, and you can take that to the information desk in the foyer at the end of the service. There's a small gift there for you. Indicate on your card if you have a prayer request, if you need a follow-up meeting, just indicate that on the card. I do have a few announcements this morning. The first is that in light of our annual business meeting that's coming up on Sunday, March 24th at 11:45 a.m., the nomination for Amin Council members, the deadline for that is today. And so if you have not taken the opportunity yet to nominate someone, you can go to the bulletin board in the foyer. There's a list of responsibilities. There's a membership list that you can nominate from. And if you are a member, you can place two names on the form, print your name clearly, sign it, fold it, put it in the little box that's there, and you're all done. And so I just encourage you to do that today and to take care of it. Just want to tell you as well, we are planning to have a worship and prayer gathering on Thursday, March the 7th at 7 p.m. So you can save the date, mark that in your calendar, and we're looking forward to gathering together for an extended time of worship and prayer as a congregation on that night. Well, today is a very special day here at Evangel. About a year ago, we were talking in our leadership advisory team about the challenges of some of our building not being accessible, especially during social times, and we just began some brainstorming of how we might be able to create a space on this level so that everybody could be a part of that. And so from that came conversations on our board level and the decision to place a food preparation cafe area in this end of the facility with some tables and so on. And so today, we are actually officially dedicating the cafe space. A very generous donation was made by Sonia Mutu and her family to cover the cost of the cafe. And we are actually dedicating the cafe today in the memory of their dad, Ray Chan. And so our cafe in the future will be known as Ray's Cafe. And So at the end of the service today, we will gather very briefly, those of you who can hang around, in the coat area. We will do a very short ribbon-cutting ceremony, and the family has already also donated sweet bread to go with coffee and tea this morning, and we can share a little bit of a fellowship time together at the end of our service as well, and you're all invited to be a part of that. So just please keep that in mind. If you haven't picked up your income tax receipt for charitable giving for 2023, they will be at the back again today. This will be the last Sunday we'll be handing them out at the back. As of today, tomorrow, they'll go in the mail and they'll be mailed out. So just save us a buck or two and swing by there and pick it up. And that way you can get it quicker if you haven't gone by there already. Just a reminder as well of our PA Day camp on Monday, April the 8th. We are still looking for some adult volunteers. And for those who may want to register their child to be a part of the PA Day camp on that Monday, you can go to our website. And the first slide has a button that says read more. If you click that, there's a whole application that you can fill out to register your child for the camp. So make sure you do that. Youth this week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, grades 6 to 12. Those are all the announcements. Some days are longer than others. Today was just one of those. But I'll make up for it on the sermon end. We'll save the time there. It's kind of like when the plane leaves late, the pastor just flies, or the pilot flies faster and gets you there on time, right? So we'll do that. Kids, if you have children, newborn to age 3, you can take your child to our nursery at any time, through these doors, down the stairs, and on your left, you'll find our nursery. And if you have children age 4 up to grade 5, you are free to go at this point. Come around the side, up through here, out through these doors into the foyer. Your leaders, volunteers will be waiting there for you. And parents, please pick your children up downstairs at the end of the service today. That's it. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. And for those of you who prefer to give electronically, you can send an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you as you continue to worship this morning.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, and I sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty, Lord, you do. Oh, when all I see is a cross, God, you see an empty tomb. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay in your feet, I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs when I fight. So when I fight, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty Fortress, and Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of Almighty Fortress, and Almighty Fortress, you go before us, Lord.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You run in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Yeah, let's stand together. So when I find a high, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. And I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs. So when I fight, and I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I'm laying at your feet. And I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Yeah, the battle belongs to you. Only you, Lord. You're fighting every battle, Jesus. Oh, I'm surrounded by you, Lord. Let's sing these words. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battle. Come on, sing like you mean it. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Hey, this is how I fight my battles. Come on, lift it up. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. It may look like I'm. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Yes, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah, this is how I fight my battles. Oh Lord, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. Come on, do you believe that? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by Jesus. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. Cause this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my own. Yeah. Oh. This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Jesus. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Only you, Lord. Oh, I'm surrounded by you, Jesus. Surrounded by the armies of heaven. Surrounded by you, Lord. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Cause I'm surrounded by you. You're my defender. You're my guardian, Lord.
Jesus King would welcome me. And I was lost, but he brought me, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, he's free indeed. And I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Whom the Son sets, whom the Son sets free. Always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm chosen. I am chosen, not forsaken. And I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. And I am who you say I am chosen. I am chosen, not forsaken. And I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. Oh, I am who you say. One more time. I am chosen. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am, yeah. You are for me, not against me. And I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. One more time. Who the Son? Whom the Son says.
Is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my
Father's house, there's a place for me.
I'm a child
of God.
Yes, I am. I'm a child
of God.
Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation. We're waiting here for you. If faith can move, if faith can move the mountain, let the mountains move. We come with expectation. We're waiting here for you. We're waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you loved us from the start. We're waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. All together, you are everything. You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true, and we're desperate for your presence. And all we need is you. Let's sing that again. You are everything. You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true, and we're desperate for your presence. And all we need is you, only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you, Lord, we adore, singing hallelujah. Let's sing that again with all of our hearts to the heart of the Father. Oh, we're waiting here for you, oh, with our hands lifted high in praise, oh Lord. And it's you, Jesus, we adore, singing hallelujah. Sing, singing hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah with all the joy and with angels singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. All sing together hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah. We're waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high and it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. Can we just sing that one more time to the Lord? We're waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's here we adore, singing hallelujah. Yeah. And I need you, oh, I need you, and every hour I need you, my one defense, my right. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Sing that again to the Lord. And I need you, and oh, I need you
every hour.
And I need you, my one defense. My righteousness, and oh God, how I need you. One more time. Come on, sing it to him. I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need of you. My one defense. My
righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Oh God, how I need you. And oh God, how I need you. Lord, we thank you that you act on behalf of those who wait for you. We thank you, Lord.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 14. It's Jesus speaking. He said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Reading was a priority in our house when our kids were growing up. Before they could read for themselves, we read to them every day. A bit of an ongoing joke is when their mom was out and dad was looking after things. Of course, lesson number one is when dad's looking after things, it's not called babysitting because you're their dad. Jennifer taught me that. But sometimes, you know, you're in a bit of a hurry. And so unlike their mother, sometimes when I would read a book, I'd read every second page. Right? Because we're in a hurry. Anyone else ever done that? Right, come on, yeah. All the dads are raising their hands. And until they get a little bit older, and then it's like, But Dad, there's a part you missed a part there, and I'm telling Mom. But there's one of our favorites, and probably one of my favorites, even still, is If You Give a Pig a Pancake. It's one of four books in the series of, you know, If You Give sort of series. There's If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, If You Give a Moose a Muffin, and there's another one, If You Take a Mouse to a Movie. And the premise of each of these books is to show how one act inevitably leads to another. And so if you give a, you know, if you give a pig a pancake, she'll want syrup to go with it. And if you give her your best maple syrup, she'll get sticky and she'll want to take a bath. And if she takes the bath, she'll want bubbles in her bath, and so on. And all of a sudden, before the book is done, you're right back to the beginning of the pancake. Now, I personally had this type of health experience during December of 2000. We were in the middle of COVID, and everything was shut down. And around the 28th of December, I started experiencing excruciating pain in my lower left back. Now, back pain wasn't new to me, but this was different than anything I had ever experienced before. I couldn't get comfortable, and over-the-counter medication like Tylenol and Advil just didn't touch it at all. I slept in a recliner for 5 nights, and actually I really didn't sleep much at all because the pain was so intense. Emergency departments were overrun at that time, and my family's doctor's office was closed for Christmas. But after 4 days of suffering, I called and left a message at his office on a Saturday, actually. And before long, I got a call back. And he prescribed me some really good painkillers. And he was able to get me in for a CT scan within a few days. So things were looking good. And within a few days, diagnosis, kidney stones. Okay, now I know, until I got a text from Carlene saying, I had those before, they're worse than giving birth. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate the encouragement to help me through this difficult time. But if that wasn't bad enough that there were kidney stones, the CT picked up a few other things. If you give a diagnostic technician a CT scan, you know, she will see a tumor on my kidney. And the doctor said, I don't know if it's cancer or not. Good. Great. And by the way, there's shading in your bones, so when that happens, it's typically bone cancer, so we'll have to take care of that. So this situation was just progressively getting worse. And the concerns set off a series of specialists and tests and ultrasounds and bone scans and CT scans. See, you were home watching videos that whole time. You didn't even know. I was almost dying. I was so radioactive during that time that if I got angry, I increased to twice the size and turned green. I mean, I was so radioactive from all these tests. Well, eventually I'd passed the kidney stone. The tumor on my kidney was deemed to be benign, nothing to worry about. And the shading in my bones was poor photography. So I was released about a year later from all of my various specialists. I was reminded during that time that sometimes it takes a closer look with specialized equipment to really see and expose what is happening physically inside a person. And as we continue to work our way through the farewell discourse of Jesus in John's gospel, we'll see that Jesus once again returns to the topic of the Holy Spirit's work after he is gone. This is the third time now he's come back to this topic. And at this point in his teaching, Jesus highlights two what we might call special ministries of the Holy Spirit, both of which center around the Holy Spirit's work, first of revealing what is really happening spiritually inside of people. And second, generating a greater understanding of Jesus. And so as we continue our sermon series today, we are going to be reminded that the Holy Spirit not only reveals what needs to change within us, but also provides us with the help to experience necessary change. So today I want to briefly consider the two special ministries outlined in this particular passage of the farewell discourse. The first is to convict. To convict. Once again, Jesus highlights for his followers why it's a good thing that he's going away. They don't think it's a good thing, but he keeps reminding them this is actually a good thing. And he said, because unless I go away, unless I go, the advocate, the counselor, the one who comes alongside to help, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus leaves is very, very important. And immediately Jesus explains why it is so important. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will first of all convict the world. The word convict means to bring light into, to expose what is wrong, to convince one of what is really happening. And so the Holy Spirit's work here is like a spiritual MRI or CT or ultrasound. He zeroes in on the truth of what is on the inside, what others can't see. And he sheds light on it. He exposes what is really going on inside. He provides a clear picture and confirms an accurate diagnosis. Now, the focus of such conviction is the world. And last week we said that in John's writing, world is most often used to reference people who have not yet experienced the love of God and do not acknowledge Jesus as Savior. And according to Jesus, the world even included spiritual people who behave in a manner opposed to him. And so when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world, he doesn't just leave it out there as a generalization. He gets very specific, outlining three specific areas of focus of the Holy Spirit's convicting ministry. Now, the idea here is that the world does not have a clear understanding of these three areas, and the Holy Spirit will expose the error of their view and provide them with a true diagnosis. The objective of the Holy Spirit's convicting work is not to announce a guilty verdict. The Holy Spirit is not convicting in order to announce a guilty verdict, but the Holy Spirit is convicting because it is a process of helping someone see their true condition so there can be change. So how specifically then is the Holy Spirit going to convict? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world, as Jesus says, of its sin. Jesus said that the world does not believe in him. The world does not accept his teaching. The world does not believe his claims. The world does not accept his assessment of them. The world does not want to receive him. The world does not want to turn to him for salvation. The world does not have a self-conscious recognition of personal sin and guilt. The world believes that it doesn't need Jesus. And the Holy Spirit responds to this with conviction. And he zeroes in on the truth of the sin in one's life, even the hidden sin on the inside. And he sheds light on it. He exposes what is really going on inside. He provides a clear picture. Because of the Holy Spirit, sin is confronted, even if those deemed to be the world want to deny the existence of the sin. The second thing Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do would convict of righteousness. Now, according to Jesus, the world believes it is righteous already, even though it is not, because it focuses on the wrong things to declare itself righteous. And that's what we talked about last week when he went after the religious establishment who thought they were righteous. And he said, you're not. Jesus' very presence and teaching convicted people of their unrighteousness, and they often responded negatively because they didn't want their true selves to be exposed. The Pharisees considered themselves righteous because they fully observed the Sabbath, but at the same time were angry that a paralytic was healed on the Sabbath and threw him out. In Titus 3:5, Paul writes, if God saved us, it's not for righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul's addressing this, and he declares that there was a time when he deemed himself to be righteous because of his religious standards and traditions he followed and the positions he held. But now he considers that righteousness that he once thought was all that, he says, now I just consider it to be garbage. It's rubbish. Good English word, rubbish. Now that he knows Jesus as his Savior, now that he's experienced true righteousness, all of that other stuff is just garbage. And so Jesus reminds us here that the Holy Spirit will continue this convicting work in terms of exposing false righteousness and pointing to true righteousness, which is only found in the cross. And then thirdly, Thirdly, the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment. Jesus was accused of being a sinner. Jesus was a blasphemer as far as most were concerned because he claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Messiah. And so he was judged by both the Jews and ultimately the Roman government, who were the ones who had power to do something about it. The world, which included these religious authorities, they viewed the cross, they viewed the crucifixion of Jesus as the place of his judgment. This is the place where Jesus was judged. This is the place where he was paying the price for his sin. But Jesus insists that the cross is not the place where he is condemned. It's the place where the world is condemned. It's the place where the prince of this world, and he references this specifically here, Satan, is decisively defeated. In John 12:31, Jesus said, now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. In 16:11, Jesus said, the prince of this world now stands condemned. The cross is the place where sin, where the prince of this world is defeated. Satan already stands judged. And even though the fullness of eternal life, we don't know it. It waits for us in the future at Christ's return. The Holy Spirit still allows us to enjoy an element of that eternal life right now. The Holy Spirit will convict the world, Jesus said, of true judgment, sin, and Satan, but not Jesus. And so these are the three areas. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit is really important because it reveals the truth about us in light of who Jesus is. Making the convicting work of the Holy Spirit important, but also uncomfortable and challenging for the world and for followers of Jesus alike. Because most people prefer to hide their brokenness, their sin, their guilt, their shame. Most of us would prefer not to be exposed for who we really are. That's why we go to such great lengths at times to put on a good front and to pretend that we are something that we are not, or that all is okay when it really isn't. Because most of us do not rush to allowing everyone to see us for who we really are. Most people deflect, deny, even run away when they are confronted with the truth about themselves. Because it's easier to run from and avoid the hard work of deep change and admitting the truth than it is to allow the Holy Spirit to confront what really needs attention in our lives. So some go from relationship to relationship, marriage to marriage. They go from church to church. They go from job to job. They go from friend group to friend group, and nothing seems to change, and they don't understand it. But the reason is, wherever you go, there you are. If you take the same person into the next marriage as you were in the first marriage, the chances of a good marriage are pretty slim. If you're the same person and behave the same way in the next church, you're only going to end up leaving there eventually too. Because wherever we go, there we are. We want to do the same things, yet we hope for a different outcome. And so the Holy Spirit's convicting work is not often welcomed freely because his work is authentic, it's real, it's exposing, and it's hard to admit the truth about ourselves. And sometimes, like the Pharisees, it's easier for us to focus on systems and regulations and traditions than it is to allow the Holy Spirit to work on our character and our relationship with Jesus. If we genuinely want to follow Jesus, if we genuinely want to follow Jesus, we need to allow the Holy Spirit access to the deepest parts of us, to the rooms that we have shut closed and the doors that we have fastened, the things that we've locked away, and allow him to reveal Jesus to us in all of these areas. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict the hearts and lives of those we love, those we work with, those who are our neighbors, that they would see how much God loves them and their need to embrace him. But sometimes I believe, because I know I do, we confuse whose responsibility it is to do the convicting. Our love and our care for others makes us to want to try really hard and do the convicting work to convince them of their need for Jesus. But we're reminded here that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts on Jesus' behalf. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Yes, the Holy Spirit will work through our words as we are faithful witnesses of Jesus. And mostly the Holy Spirit will work through how we live our lives and the kind of people we are as we love Jesus and we love like Jesus and we live like Jesus. But at the end of the day, it is the Spirit that convicts those concerning Jesus. Secondly, to guide. Jesus has had a lot to say up to this point, and he declares that there's still a lot more to say. There's a lot more I need to say to you, but there's a problem. And the problem is that what he still needs to say to them is more than they can bear at this time. It's more than they can carry right now. All this is just too overwhelming. It's too much. And Jesus recognizes that, these guys are drinking from a fire hose. And I need to, there's only so much I can give you at this point. At present, they do not have the spiritual maturity to handle everything they need to know. The cross and the resurrection, it hasn't happened yet. And so they can't even begin to comprehend all of that yet. And so Jesus is preparing them as much as possible for what lies ahead, but there's only so much he can give them at this moment. But he says the Holy Spirit will continue this work after he is gone. And Jesus once again outlines a few things of what the Holy Spirit will do in terms of guiding. The first is that the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. Jesus has already told them that the Holy Spirit will remind them in the future of the things that he's already taught and said. But here, Jesus declares that the Holy Spirit will teach them and will guide them into a fuller understanding of Jesus. The light will come on for them. Specifically, the significance of the cross and God's plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit will help them understand it all in the present and also as they move forward into the future. The Holy Spirit will stay with them, journey with them, and will speak to them and will tell them, will inspire them. And we know that many of them went on to be inspired to write the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, to record an accurate understanding of Jesus and what he taught. And so the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will be dependent on Jesus. Jesus declared that he came to do the work of the Father, to say what the Father would have him to say. He said, whatever I'm saying is from the Father. Whatever I'm doing is from the Father. He insisted that he was not speaking of his own will. He's speaking of the Father who sent him. Jesus' ministry was dependent on and obedient to the Father. And he said, when he leaves them, the Holy Spirit is going to come in his place. And just as Jesus was dependent on the Father and spoke what the Father asked him to speak, now he says the Holy Spirit will not speak his on his own either, but be dependent on Jesus, speaking only what he hears from Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take what is from Jesus and make it known to them. Jesus is, and Jesus always will be, the focus. The Holy Spirit will not add any new revelation of Jesus, but will explain and make what Jesus did and taught clear to them. And then third, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus. Jesus' truth transforms the lives of those who follow him. And as the truth of the gospel, the good news, is established in the lives of people, as Jesus' followers become more steeped in understanding the truth about Jesus, glory comes to Jesus. Now, to glorify means to shine onto, to highlight in order to see better. If you will, it's like putting a spotlight on someone or something to draw your attention there. And so the Holy Spirit's objective is not to bring glory and attention and the spotlight to himself. The Holy Spirit's objective is to bring glory to Jesus, to point to Jesus, to put the spotlight on Jesus. So he is always the central focus. In the PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, Statement of Essential Truths, which is basically an outline of the core things that we believe as part of this denomination, under the section of what we believe about the Bible, there is this sentence. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible, enables its interpretation and application. We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. But we also believe that the same Holy Spirit enables us to interpret it and understand it. And so even though I agree with this statement, and I do, I personally find this statement very challenging. I find it really challenging. Because one of the primary tasks assigned to me as the lead pastor of this congregation is preaching and teaching. And the Bible tells us that there is a heightened responsibility for those who preach and teach because of the potential influence that teaching has under one's leadership. In fact, James 3 tells us that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's why when someone flippantly says, I think I'm called into the ministry, I really probe that in almost trying to talk them out of it, because I know if this is not where you're supposed to be, this is not where you need to be. Like, don't go there, right? Who'd sign up for this? Great. All of you who are going to be judged more strictly, please step to the left. Right? And so the weight of getting it right, and I'm being very authentic with you this morning, the weight of getting it right weighs heavy on me as a pastor in light of the responsibility that God assigns to me. He assigned it to me. He didn't assign it to you. He assigned it to me. He assigned it to me. I've also learned that many people say, the Bible says. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Well, the Bible says. You ever said that? And then they proceed, you don't have to raise your hand about this part, to take a scripture completely out of context and make it mean something completely different than what God intended. And when they do that, what they're really saying is this. They're not saying what the Bible says. They're saying, well, my interpretation of what the Bible says is, or the way I see it is. Right? And so, for these reasons, I want you to know, I don't carry this burden lightly. I carry it seeking the help of the Holy Spirit. Because who is better to enable me and help me to interpret and apply? And yes, you know, you do all the studies too, and you get the education and you do all that, right? And then after 6 years of theological education, the person who's read one book already knows more than you, but that's a different sermon. But you do all of that, but you ultimately are looking for God to lead you by the Spirit, because who is better to enable any pastor to interpret and to apply Scripture than the same Holy Spirit who inspired it in the first place? The Holy Spirit's role is to put the spotlight on Jesus, to glorify Him, to shift our attention to Him. And we have to be careful that we do not shift the focus away from Jesus. Let me tell you, in 36 years of standing behind a pulpit, the most negative responses I have received about preaching is when I talk about Jesus. Shockingly. We never shift the focus away from Jesus. The priority of our worship when we gather to worship is Jesus. The priority of our worship is not songs. It's not music styles or arrangements. It's not emotions or the minor chords that make us feel all fuzzy. It's not entertainment. It's not a show. This is not a theater. You're not an audience. We're a community of Christ followers who've gathered to exalt Him in the presence of God. That's who we are. It's not entertainment. It is Jesus. And I don't want to get started on this, because one of my main concerns over the last 15 to 20 years is that we've been worshiping worship for far too long. It's a vehicle that leads us to Jesus. If it's anything other than that, let's stop doing it. It's about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings worship back to Jesus. The priority of our preaching is Jesus. It's not the protection of our beliefs or our traditions that we've created along the way. It's not about our political views and positions. It's not the latest issue in culture and our opinion on that issue. That's not what preaching is. The primary focus of our preaching is Jesus. We preach Jesus and Him crucified. That's what we do. Why? Because as Peter said in Acts 4, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings our preaching back to Jesus, what He said, what He did, how He lived. The priority of our serving and compassion towards others is Jesus. We're not just doing good to feel good or look good, but we're doing good and we're caring for others because of the love of Jesus in us and our love for others. Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Jesus is the primary focus of serving and compassion. And the Holy Spirit brings our service and compassion back to Jesus. That's what he does. He glorifies Jesus. He puts Jesus in the spotlight, in the center, as the focus. I'm going to invite the worship team back as we conclude this morning. The Holy Spirit not only reveals what needs to change within us, but also provides us with the help to experience necessary change. If we genuinely want to follow Jesus, we need to allow the Holy Spirit access to the deepest parts of us, the rooms we have shut closed, the things we have locked away, and allow him to reveal Jesus to us in all of these areas. The Holy Spirit's desire is to put the spotlight on Jesus, to glorify him, to shift our attention to him. And when we stray from that, he brings us back to Jesus. Would you stand this morning as our worship team leads us for a few moments?
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
King of endless worth.
King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, and all I have is yours, every single breath, I'm bringing more, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh Lord, you search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, where it's all about you, Lord. It's all about
I'm coming back. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, where it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, we sing, we pray, it's all about you. You're looking into my heart, into my heart. You're looking into my heart, you're looking into my heart, into my heart. You're looking, Lord. You're looking into my heart, into my heart. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we're singing. You're looking into my heart, you're into my heart. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus, we recognize this morning, it's all about you. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to look into our hearts, to see things that we know are there, that perhaps we're even ashamed that they are there. We ask for forgiveness. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us change. And Lord, this morning we pray for the things that we don't know are there, that are not good, that are harmful, and they're in there and we don't even know. Holy Spirit, would you reveal those to us? Help us to see. And Lord, as we live our lives, I pray that our desire would be to focus on Jesus, to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to be who Jesus has called us to be. Holy Spirit, would you help us? And Lord, we pray for those who may be in this room or listening this morning, and they wouldn't even consider themselves to be a follower of Jesus. They would say, well, in the definition of the world, that's where I fall. I have not experienced the love of God, and I am not a follower of Jesus. I've not experienced his salvation. And I pray for your convicting spirit this morning to convince each and every one that what we need most in this world is you. It's not money. It's not things. It's not jobs. It's not relationships. What we need most is you. So, Lord, we commit that to you this morning. Father, as we leave this place, may we leave determined to intentionally live our lives in a way where we allow your Spirit to work in our lives, to lead us and guide us, so that the world around us can see and hear of Jesus through our lives. We pray these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.